10 o'clock before. I mean, for probably most of us. And Pastor Dwayne and Jeannie just been a blessing to us for so many years. I got saved in his church almost 24 years ago, 23 and a half years ago. And just my life has never been the same. And it's been exciting, but just wonderful, wonderful people and love God and a wonderful ministry. And we're so glad to have him here tonight. So would you please welcome Pastor Dwayne Vanderclock.
Thank you. Hang on. Hey, great to be with you. And thanks for coming tonight. And Jeannie's here with me. We got to hang out with Tony a bit. This is wonderful before service. But we're going to jump right into the Word. So sit back, look at the screen. We're going to have lots of scriptures. Take notes if you're a note taker. In fact, if you're not, you probably should be. This is not a political statement, but let me. Oh, take my earplugs out. That'll help. I love the praise and worship. It's just a little loud for me, that's all. thanks, babe. It makes things a whole lot better. It really does. Okay, it looks better, too, instead of having stuff hanging out of my ears. That's good. All right. Now, say it again. This is not a political statement. However, Ronald Reagan said this. He said, it's not that our dear liberal friends are stupid. He said, they just know so many things that are not true. Now, it's not that Christians are stupid. They just know so many things that are not true. You see, you say, what do you mean? Well, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. But if there's an area in your life where you're in bondage, it's because you know something that isn't true. You think it's true, but it's not true. And Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or so will he become. Now, we sometimes think that our thoughts are not very important. But I believe it is impossible to overemphasize how important your thoughts are. The Bible says this in Isaiah 55. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. You know, if you ever want to return to the Lord, the first thing you have to do is change your thoughts. Because the way that you get away from God is in your thoughts. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. In other words, you live in a flesh and blood body, but you cannot punch the devil out. You can't give him a black eye. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the Bible tells us we can have a stronghold, and that thing keeps us from the will of God. You say, what is that stronghold? Well, it's a thought, it's a belief, a tradition, a habit, some lie that you believe, an argument against God. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I've been saved for 40 years. Been in full-time ministry for 38 years. And I would like to share, I'm thinking of anyway, about sharing with you the greatest revelation that I have ever had. How many would like to hear it? Yeah. You got to do better than that. How many want to hear this? Come on. Okay. Now, this is the greatest revelation I've ever had. All right, you might want to write this down. God is smarter than me. Psalms 119, verse 128. David said, I consider your precepts or your word concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way or every way that disagrees with what you say. See, when God talks about marriage, he's right. That's right. When God talks about raising kids, he's right. When God talks about how to be a good employee, he's right. When God talks about money, he's right. When God talks about forgiveness, he's right. When God talks about sex, he's right. Everything God talks about, everything he says, he's right. See, and if you disagree, you're wrong. You say, well, I don't like that. Tough. He's the Lord. He changes not. So somebody's going to have to change. All right? And who's supposed to change? Well, it's you and it's I that need to change. Romans 12, verse 2, is the most important verse in the New Testament when it comes to victorious Christian living. Romans 12, 2. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Now, we're supposed to be in the world, but we're not supposed to be like it. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed or be changed. Literally, the Greek word is the word we get our word metamorphosis from. You know, like a caterpillar makes a cocoon and comes out a butterfly? That's the type of change that it's talking about, right? But let there be a metamorphosis in your life, right? How does it come? By the renewing of your mind or by changing the way you think. Now, the reason God gave you the Bible was to change the way you think. Think about that. It was to change the way that you think. So you could, you know, if we go to a bookstore and grab a book, whatever book you grab, you're reading the thoughts of the person that read that book. See, but when you read the Bible, you're not reading the thoughts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're reading the thoughts of God, because all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. Right? So he gave us the Bible to change the way that we think. Now, I'm going to say it was 8 years ago. It might have been 9. But at the end of a service, I always stick around in the front and you know, meet people or pray with people or answer questions. And after this particular service, I'm standing around front, and we were in the old sanctuary. I don't even remember if we had 4 or 6 sets of pews, you know. But anyway, this guy, I'm off to the side, and he's up the aisle, and he's standing up the aisle like 12, 15 feet. And he's just letting everybody come and everybody go. And when everybody's gone, he comes down. And even by the time he comes down, he's got tears in his eyes. And he says to me, Pastor, he says, I'm committing adultery. And I have been for a couple years. He said, I just can't stop. He says, I don't even enjoy it. He says, but I just can't stop. He says, but I want you to pray for me, so I'll stop. So I said to him, I will pray for you, but it won't do much good. And he kind of like went, you know, because he figured if I prayed for him, well, that would be it. Everything would change. See, now the Bible does not say to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by prayer. Does it? See, I know people that have prayed for 30 years and are still doing the same junk they were doing 30 years ago. Right? You're not going to be changed by prayer. By prayer alone. You're not going to be changed by worship alone. The Bible tells you right here how to be changed. And it says you're changed by the renewing of your mind or by changing the way that you think. So I said to him, I said, this is what I want you to do. I said, every day you read Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7. For those of you who don't know, those are the two chapters in Proverbs that talk about sexual sin. And then I said, every week I want you to read the story of Samson and what sexual sin did in his life. And then I want you to read the David and Bathsheba story and the aftermath and what happened in his life. See, well, you say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to change the way that he thinks. Jesus said in Mark 4, verse 24, he says, be careful what you hear. Right, now, this is really important. Be careful what you hear. And I'll mention this again. He says, the amount of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the amount of virtue or power and its power to change your life, the amount of virtue or power and knowledge that comes to you, the amount of thought and study that you give. Now, by the way, what we call thought and study is we call it meditation, right? Now, the Bible again and again talks to Christians. You know, we think, well, I read my Bible and that's not. It's not, right? Reading your Bible will not change you. Meditating on your Bible will change you, right? And there's a difference. You know, you can read three chapters and you don't remember one thing when you got done. See, that did not help. It may make your conscience feel better, like you did your religious duty, but it will not change you. It's the amount of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear. You meditate. You apply it in your life. You come at it from every possible direction. Now, when we talk about meditation, Bible meditation is the exact opposite of Eastern meditation. Right? In Eastern meditation, you empty yourself. But with Bible meditation or Christian meditation, you fill yourself. Right? But you don't fill yourself with yourself. You fill yourself with the Word of God. And the amount of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the amount, Jesus said, of virtue or power. And remember, this is power to change the way that you live. And knowledge that's going to come to you. What you think about is so much more important than you know. Listen, you always ultimately move in the direction of your dominant thoughts. Let me give you an example. Elijah is a prophet in the Old Testament. God says to him, go show yourself to the king and say there'll be no rain, no dew these years until I say so. So he goes to the king. The king thinks he's crazy, and he leaves. But then there's no rain, and there's no dew. And God tells him, go down to the brook Cherith and hide there. He said, and I've commanded the ravens to come and feed you. So he's by the brook. And every morning, the Bible says, and every evening, the birds come, and they've got bread, and they've got meat. I've always just kind of pictured a whopper myself. You know? Finally, the brook dries up. And God summons him to Zarephath, and supernaturally, some of you know the story, he's there with a widow woman, and God supernaturally supplies food for them for a period of a couple of years. And finally, God says, go show yourself to the king, and they end up on Mount Carmel. We were just there a few months ago. There's 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah, the prophet of God. And there's a contest. They make altars, they put the sacrifices on, and they pray. And the ideal is the God who answers by fire, he's God. So the prophets of Baal, they're cutting themselves, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're dancing, and nothing happens. All right? And of course, here's Elijah going, hey, yell louder, I think he's on vacation. You know? And if you've got a really accurate translation, he actually says, hey, maybe he's in the bathroom. I mean, he's really rattling, you know. And then he prays, fire falls from heaven, consumes the sacrifice. Everybody bows down, says, the Lord, he's God. He grabs the 450 prophets of Baal, kills the 450 prophets of Baal, goes up on top of the mountain, starts to pray. And here comes the rain clouds. And he goes down to the king. He says, get in your chariot and go fast, because if you don't, the rain's going to stop. Is going to stop you. And in the meantime, it's dark, there's thunder, there's lightning. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on the prophet, and he outran the king all the way to Jezreel. That's 18 miles. He outran the king's horses for 18 miles. Now, this is a good day. All right? You prayed, fire fell from heaven. You killed the 450 prophets of Baal. Then you pray again, and it starts to rain. Then the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, and you outrun the king's chariot. Now, the king's wife's name is Jezebel, and she is like this, I don't know, she's just like the most wicked thing you can imagine on steroids. And she says, sends word and says, by this time tomorrow, you will be dead, just like the prophets of Baal. And this is what the Bible says, and I quote, when he saw that, he turned And he ran into the desert for 3 days. When he saw that, right? Now he's having this great day. God's got great things in store. But when he turned his thoughts toward the threat of the wicked queen, he turned in a totally different direction and literally missed the will of God for his life. Your thoughts. You will ultimately always move in the direction of your dominant thought. And one wrong thought can keep you from the will of God. One wrong thought can destroy a marriage. One wrong thought can keep you from having a tremendous breakthrough financially, can keep you from peace in your mind, can keep you from healing. In fact, there's a story in the Bible about a man by the name of Naaman. He's a general for Israel's enemies, the Assyrians. He's a leper. And in his house, there's a little Israelite girl. She's a servant. And she says, oh, if the general was just in Israel, there's a prophet there who could heal him. Well, the general, he gets a bunch of stuff together, a bunch of gold and silver and clothes, and takes off and ends up at the prophet's house. And the prophet sends out his servant by the name of Gehazi. And the servant says to the general, the prophet said, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and you will be healed. And the Bible says that the prophet's word was heard, but the general, the Bible says, he is furious. And I quote, he says, surely I thought. How many of you know your thoughts can get you in trouble? He says, surely I thought he would come out, that he would wave his hand over the place, and he would call on the name of his God, and I would be healed. Are not the rivers, the Abana and the Parpar of Damascus, much cleaner than all the waters of Israel? How many have ever been to the Jordan River? Yeah, you thought it was going to be this sparkling, clean, oh my goodness. I don't think you can see 3 inches. I mean, it is like dirty, dirty, all right? He said, why, the Abana and the Parpar rivers of Damascus, they're so much cleaner. Why couldn't I wash in them and be clean? And he takes off, and he is mad, and he's heading home. Now, he's got a thought. He said, this is how I thought. How many of you have ever thought you knew what God was going to do? Yeah. And surely I thought, and his servant said to him, hey, if that prophet had asked you to do something hard, you'd have done it. Why not just do this simple thing and go down to the river and dip 7 times? So he goes down to the river. He dips 7 times. And the Bible says when he came up the 7th time, his skin was just like a baby's skin, and he was totally, completely healed. See, one wrong thought was keeping him from being healed. One wrong thought can keep you from fulfilling your destiny. One wrong thought can keep you from peace. One wrong thought can keep you from getting saved. And I know that's true because that happened to me for 10 years. Kept me from getting saved. One wrong thought. Now, we're going to go to Genesis because this thought thing, it's from Genesis to Revelation. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, God has created the earth. He's taken man and woman. He's put them in the garden, and he said to man, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of blessing and calamity, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. There's just one thing they can't do. Millions and millions and millions of trees, one tree, God said no. All right? And then we've got Adam and Eve. Our parents, the federal head of the human race. In verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now how many of you have seen that picture? Eve is there and there's this apple tree and there's this snake in the tree and the snake's talking to her. How many of you have seen that picture? All right. You know, maybe it happened that way. But When the Bible calls the devil in the book of Revelation that old dragon, right? How many of you think when you see the devil, he's going to have a big long tail and wings and breathe fire? No, but one of his names is that old dragon, all right? Another one of his names is the serpent, all right? Maybe he looked like a snake, but probably not, right? That's just one of the names of the devil, right? You'll notice it says that he was more cunning than any beast of the field. There's making a distinction between things, animals that were created, and the serpent. And notice it says he's more cunning. He's not more powerful, right? He's not more powerful. He's just more deceitful. He's a better liar than anybody else. And he said, what has God said? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Listen, the devil will always tell you that what God said does not apply to you. He will always tell you that what God said, what the Bible says, does not apply to you. You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Look, the devil's a liar. He said, you'll be like God. You know the first thing God said about man? Genesis 1:26. Let us make him in our likeness and in our image. They were already like God. The devil didn't want them to be like God. The devil wanted them to be like him. He was a liar. Always has been. All right? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So that the devil, he's cunning, not powerful, but he's cunning with lies and trickery and deceit, cunning maneuvers to get us to doubt the word of God. Remember? And strongholds in our minds are always something that we believe that is contrary to the word and the spirit of God. The devil says, you'll not die. But he was lying. Now, Proverbs 4:23, just listen to this. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. In other words, Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Guard your heart. You know, you've got to have a filter. And if it does anything that's contrary to the word of God, you need to filter that thing out. If she didn't do it, she didn't guard her heart. She didn't keep it. She didn't go, well, God loves us. And God's word is truth, and we are like God. Or even, I'm going to pray and ask God about this. Right? Instead, her mind went wild and thought, God's keeping this from us. You know, God doesn't want us to enjoy this forbidden fruit. Maybe there's more to life than what God told us. You know, the truth is, the devil's lies always oppose the truth of the word of God. And God's word brings you truth, and the truth makes you free. The devil's lies bring you into bondage and deception and keep you bound. Believing the devil's lies and buying into his deceptions bring bondage, but believing the truth of God's word brings me into total freedom. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. The Bible says their eyes were open. They had new thoughts, but the source of those new thoughts was not God. And they begin to cover themselves, begin to hide. And that's what happens when we're not walking in the truth. We're hiding from our boss or from our spouse. We're hiding from our parents, our friends, our coworkers. All right? We're covering things up. God shows up. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said to Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? So God said, who told you that you were naked? Where did that thought come from? Remember, Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. If you believe something that's a lie, you will always act in accordance with what you believe. You will always act in accordance with what you believe. So God said, who told you you were naked? Where did that thought come from? Who told you that you would never get out of debt? Who told you that you weren't smart enough? Who told you you were stupid? Who told you you'd never amount to anything? Who told you you could never get a better job? Who told you your company could never continue to grow? Who told you your marriage is going to end in a divorce? Who told you you're fat and you can't lose weight? Who told you that you're going to become an invalid? Who told you no one would ever want to marry you? Who told you you're a loser? Who told you that you could never get free from drugs? Who told you that you would be bound by alcohol until the day that you died? Who told you you could never stop smoking? Who told you you could never get free from porn? Who told you you're going to die young like your parents did? Who told you you can never have normal sexual desires? Who told you you were naked? The devil. But if you believe the devil's lies, if you believe them, you will act in accordance with his lies. Now, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature, a new creation, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, you do not know this, but you are so new that you need God to introduce you to yourself.
That's good.
You do. See, who you are and what belongs to you is different now. See, and the only place you're going to find the truth about you is in the Bible. That's where you're going to find the truth about who you are. And Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Because if you believe a lie, you will live that lie. But the amount of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the amount of virtue or power to change your life and knowledge that comes to you. Right? Again, it's not enough to just read your Bible and forget what you read. It's the amount of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear. Who told you that you were naked? You know, the devil uses people. People are not the enemy. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And so often we think that the enemy is somebody, all right? But we need to learn to doubt the devil's lies and replace it with the Word of God, all right? You focus on what you want. Say that again. You focus on what you want. I think it's interesting. Philippians 4 and 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything that is worthy of praise, meditate on these things. Now notice, it does not one time mention a negative thing in there. It doesn't say focus on resisting the negative, right? It's focusing on the pursuit of the positive. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, let me just give you a few keys to breaking old habits and pulling down strongholds, right? First of all, you have to desire something different. Desire something different. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. We think of a car or a house or something, you know. Oh, I'm delighting myself in those. You give me the desires of my heart. No, that's not the desire it's talking about. It says it like this in Philippians 2:13. For God himself is at work in you, inspiring you to want the things that please him and to work for them. All right? So first of all, there has to be desire. Has to be desire. Jesus even said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. You may have heard about the 13-year-old boy, and his parents were having problems with him. This kid, he was just sloppy. He wouldn't brush his teeth, wouldn't comb his hair, just a mess. You know, they couldn't even get him to take a bath once a week. I mean, this kid stinks, you know. And then he laid his eyes on Susan. Suddenly, he's taking a shower in the morning, a shower at night. He brushes his teeth. His hair is spiked. He cares about what he looks like. You say, what happened? Desire. Desire. All right. Secondly, picture yourself with the new thoughts, actions, and lifestyle. All right? Maybe you're overeating, but you say, now I've got self-control. You're angry, but now see yourself as kind and forgiving. All right? Work at the new picture, all right? You say, where is it going to come from? It needs to come from the Word of God. That's where it needs to come from. Be careful what you're hearing. Don't let friends, don't let family, don't let culture, don't let anybody tell you different than the Word of God. Be careful what you hear, all right? But what about the truth? The amount of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the amount of power that comes to you, the amount of power and knowledge that comes to you. Right? As you're in the Word of God, you're going to see a victorious, peaceful, kind, self-controlled, healthy person walk out of those pages. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Or so will he become. You frame your life by meditating about what God says about you. All right? Teen Challenge was started in the late 50s by the late David Wilkerson. Originally, it was just for mainly drug addicts and alcoholics in their teenage years, but over the years, basically anybody can get in. Anyone with an addiction. Now, it is a one-year program, right? You can walk out anytime you want, but it is a one-year program, right? Of those that stay in 1 year, right? Now, it is basically a Bible school. That's what it is. It's like a one-year Bible school of how to renew your mind. But of those that stay, alcoholics, drug addicts, you name the problem, of those that stay and make it the full year and graduate, 25 years later, over 70% have never gone back. Never. Wow. You say, what is that? Well, they changed the way they thought. Yep. They changed the way that they thought about themselves. Right? Where did they get it? From the Word of God. Again, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. All right. Why do we meditate? So we can do it. All right. It's not enough to hear it. All right. You meditate on it. You see yourself doing it, and you do it. And what's the result? It says, then you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. Talk about the way you want to be, not the way you are. All right. Don't say, well, you know, I'm out of control. I can't control my eating. I'm just continuing to gain more and more weight. Now you say, I was out of control, but now I have self-control. Anger used to control me, but now I have self-control and I forgive. Right? You're not going to be saying, it's so hard to smoke. Everybody's lighting up around me. It's driving me crazy all the smoke. I just got to have one. No, you just say, I can quit in Jesus' name. I'm going to glorify God with my body, and I will not let this habit control me. Right? Begin to speak it out. Romans 4:17. I'm going to have to close with this one. But it says this, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. All right. So God says to Abram, Abraham at this time is in his late 90s, right? And he says, now, Abram, I make you the father of many nations. And he literally changes his name to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. Now, he's in his late 90s. Sarah's 90. The Bible says that she's past menopause, and there's no chance of her having any children. And God calls the things that be not as though they were. Changed Abram's name to Abraham, the father of a multitude. So he gets up the next morning, goes to the market, and says, I want to buy that sheep. And the guy says, okay, Abram. And he says, no. He says, my name is Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. And the guy goes, oh, he says, how many kids do you have? He says, none. And how old are you? 99. And Sarah is well, she's 90. And you have how many kids? None. Oh, okay. Anything else that you want? You know, the guy thinks he is crazy. But what did he have to do? He began to call the things that are not as though they were. Begin to see yourself and talk about yourself, not as the way that you were, but the way that you are going to be. All right? In fact, the simplest definition of faith is this: act like the Bible's true. Just act like the Bible is true. And practice thinking and doing the new thing every day. See yourself that way. Start to do it every single day. Right? Practice makes perfect. Right? In fact, perfect practice makes perfect. Right? But your word, it is truth. Be careful what you hear. Don't believe the lies of the world and culture. Right? But the amount of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear, the word of God that you hear, will be the amount of virtue or power to change your life and knowledge that will come to you. You may have been in the condition that you're in right now with a stronghold in your life for 30, 40, 50 years. It does not matter. You can change. But it takes more than reading your Bible. It takes more than prayer. You're changed by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way that you think. Jesus said, by meditating on the Word of God. And if you'll do that and believe what God says about you, you will break old habits and you will pull down every stronghold that the devil has tried to place in your life. All right. Would you please bow your heads? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that all scripture, it is God-breathed. It is full of power. And we thank you that the entrance of your word, it brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Father, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him and of your word would just flow into every person in this place today. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit would strengthen us to seek your word, to give thought and study to the truth that we hear. Lord, that freedom can flow and reign in our lives. As every head's bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you're away from God. You used to live for God, but you're not today. Or you've never given him your life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you can have it abundantly. That's what he has for you. You can keep going the way that you're going, but if you want the life that God has for you, that abundant life, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in just a moment. We're going to pray together. When we say amen, you're going to be right with God. When I say three, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. And when you lift that hand, you're saying to God, God, I don't want to just know about you in my head. I want you in my heart. And I want you in control of my life. One. As you lift your hand, you're saying, God, I want to be forgiven, not condemned. I want to be saved, not lost. I want to serve you with my life. I want to go to heaven and not hell. Two. Now get ready. As you lift your hand, you're saying to God, God, today, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to live for him. I want him to blood wash me from my sins, to make me a new person on the inside. I want the abundant life he has for me. I want to be a child of God, a part of your family, on my way to heaven. Three, right now, just lift that hand up. Say, pray with me. Not where I should be. I want to get right. Everybody's saved. Father, I thank you for every good heart that's here. And I pray that the word sown into these hearts, it'll bring forth fruit in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. It was great to be with you. God bless.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Dwayne. What an awesome message. I'll tell you, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works. Well, we'd like to take an offering for Pastor Dwayne and Jeannie and their ministry. The Bible says that